Welcome to episode 2 of the Zachnology Tech Review podcast in partnership with 1730-12 News and America's number one favorite news show, Today Now. We'd like to apologize for the very long wait for the second edition of the podcast, but we think you'll enjoy it. Today, Zach and I will be telling you everything you need to know about smart homes. We'll be explaining basic concepts, how to set it up, and even we'll take a look at some of the different providers. So thanks for tuning in. We have a lot coming up. So first up in this episode, we're just going to be looking at the basics of a smart home, and Zach is going to answer the fundamental question, what is a smart home?
Yeah, thanks, Charlie, for doing that introduction. So I was really happy when, you know, I found out we're going to do smart home for episode 2 because of how popular smart homes have become within the last several years. You know, it's a very, very modern technology we're looking at here. So, you know, I know many people don't really know what a smart home is. So we're just going to start with the basics. So a smart home is a collection of network-enabled devices, home devices and products, and they can be controlled by a phone, tablet, or other device. So you might have like smart lights, smart thermostats, smart coffee makers, smart smoke detectors. And so then all these devices can be controlled right from your smartphone. And you can be at home or away, so you can control them from anywhere. So that's like the really big part of smart home is that it can be controlled from your phone. And then
right, and you can go ahead.
Go ahead, Charlie.
So I just want to say when you're giving some examples, I mean, it's every day it seems like they're coming out with new devices. Now they have like smart sprinklers in your yard that can be controlled on your phone, like smart, you know, just everything.
Yeah,
so it's not limited to just the examples you have. I mean,
pretty
much anything you can imagine, there's a smart home device. And then we'll get into this later, but there's apps like Google Home where you can integrate everything into one, dashboard.
Yeah, and that's good that you brought that up, that it's not limited to the examples I provided. The list is endless. Like you said, there's smart sprinkler systems, smart robotic vacuums. So there's tons of options out there if you want to get started with smart home. So, but like I said, that's a very big part of smart home, being able to control it remotely from your phone. And then another big part of smart home, and I'm just, you know, briefly explaining this, we can go into a little bit more detail later on. But another big part of it is integrations and automation. Now, I know this sounds pretty complex. But basically, it just means that not only can the smart devices connect to your phone, but they can also connect to each other and interact with each other. So I'll just give a very brief example of what this might mean. If the smoke detector senses that there's a fire or there's smoke, it can automatically tell the thermostat to turn off the heat. So that's just a very brief example of integrations and automation. And we'll get into more detail later on.
Right. So, Zach, one other thing I think we should bring up, one of the most basic concepts of a smart home is voice assistance.
Yes, I was just going to get into that, actually.
Right. You might be thinking, what's the point of all this stuff if it's just more complicated to use?
Right.
That's where voice assistance comes in. You can have, you know, Google Homes or Amazon Alexas around your house. You can just say, you know, hey, Google, you know, turn on the sprinkler, turn up the heat, turn on the TV. And that's where the simplicity really, you know, that's the reason why people get smart homes. You can just say something to this device and it'll do it for you. So that's really I'd say probably one of the main reasons why people choose smart home devices.
Right. So that was actually just going to be the third big part of smart home is the voice assistant. And I mean, a smart home, the whole point of it is that it's making your life easier. It's supposed to be simple. It's supposed to be easy to use. It's not supposed to be some complex computer system that you can't figure out how to work. You shouldn't have to take out your phone every time you want to turn on the lights. You can use voice. You should be able to use voice assistance. You should be able to still manually turn it on at the light switch. But, you know, voice assistants are a big part of making the smart home easy to use and not super complex. So like I said earlier, smart homes have become much more popular in recent years, which is part of the reason why I was really excited to do this, because like I said, it's very modern technology, pretty new stuff. And like Charlie said, it seems like they're coming out with new devices every day.
Right. And one other thing why a lot of people, you see a lot more smart home devices, is sometimes you can't get away from it. You know, most of the new TVs out there these days are going to be smart TVs. A lot of, lights are going to get or automatically come with that feature where you can turn on from your phone. So yeah. You just have to notice there might be devices in your home that you don't even realize, are able to connect to a network and you can control from your phone. So like Zach's been saying, definitely over the past few years, we've seen much more smart home, integration being built into devices.
Right. And like you said, I mean, I know a lot of people who get TVs because their old one broke, not knowing, that it has all this stuff in it. You can control the lights from your TV. Your TV might have Alexa built in. You don't know. So that's really a big part of it, is that there's smart home is being integrated into so many devices and you don't even know it. So, and you might be wondering, well, why should I get a smart home? Why is it helpful? Well, first of all, smart home is a big part of home security because, you had the old security systems where it would automatically call the police if, someone broke into your house. Okay, that's good. But with the new smart home security systems, first of all, it can alert your phone if there's something happening. It can show you security camera feeds no matter how far away from your home you are. It can ask you if you want to call police instead of automatically doing so. I know for some people that's annoying, so it can be nice if it asks you before it does that.
You're right. I know there's been a lot of problems with
false
that.
False alarms,
right.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely home security is a big part.
Home security is a big part.
And the thing is integration. Things like the lights can even turn on if there's an alarm. I've heard of stuff like that.
Right.
Google Home could make an alarm noise. It's just so cool how everything is interconnected. Devices that might seem totally like they have nothing to do with each other can work together when they're both part of a smart home network.
Yeah, exactly. So home security and also just easy control of your devices. You have every access to almost your whole home right from the palm of your hand. Doesn't matter if you're at home or away, you can control everything from thermostats, light switches, coffee makers, home security. So it's home security, but it's also just, peace of mind and easy control of your devices. So next for section two, we'll be covering just the basics of the individual smart home devices. So, keep listening. All right, so next up, we're just going to be talking about the basics of the individual smart home devices themselves. So the way, you get a smart light bulb, say you got a smart light switch, and most of these devices will connect to your mobile device using Wi-Fi. That's how you control the device. It connects to your Wi-Fi network, and then your phone must be connected to the same Wi-Fi network when you're setting it up. For most of these devices, setting up is very simple. It's very user-friendly. It's not as difficult as it used to be with API keys and, codes. They've made it much more easier for everyone to set up their devices.
So, yeah, just like as an example, like I'm sure most of our viewers and I don't know what an API key is, but that's the thing. Nowadays, you don't need that. You can just like if you're setting up a new smart TV, you can just, you take you scan a QR code and you have it right on your phone. So that's just an example of how easy they make the setup. I mean, you can get a new device and have it in your network in, 2 minutes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So you brought the concept of the app. So the manufacturer usually has a mobile app. And the way it typically works is the user creates an account in the mobile app with their email address. They create a password, and then they add their smart devices to that account. And so then you might have like a family account. So then everyone in your family signs on to that account. And so then everyone, the family, has access to the smart devices. So usually the way it works is so say we're setting up a smart plug. We plug it into the wall. A light might start flashing. On the mobile app, you would probably tap add a device, and then it would say searching the Wi-Fi network. Well, it would say searching for nearby devices that aren't set up. Assuming everything is okay with the device, you know, no Bluetooth issues, it would find the smart plug. And then it would say, okay, linking to your account, what do you want to name this device? So you would maybe name it living room lamp. And then it would ask which Wi-Fi network you want to connect it to. Usually it's just your main Wi-Fi network that your mobile device is connected to. You type in your Wi-Fi password, the smart plug will connect, and then you're ready to go there. So it takes, I would say, 5-10 minutes to set up a smart device. And that's really why smart devices have become so much more popular, not only because of how they simplify, you know, just everyday tasks, but they're so easy to set up for anyone. So once the device is set up and connected, the user can control it using the mobile app from the manufacturer. And almost all smart devices, it can be controlled anywhere. They don't have to be on their Wi-Fi network. So once it's set up, you can move to your cellular connection. You'll still be able to control it. So
right. So Zach, you brought up a manufacturer app, and this is one thing. Let's give an example, like a Philips Hue light bulb, for example. There's a Hue app, right, where you can control the light. But that's not going to be convenient if you go into every separate app to control every separate device, which is why you have a network such as Google Home where everything's in one place and you can turn all the lights at once, for example. So you usually don't just want to use what the manufacturer provides, but oftentimes you'll want to maybe do some research and try and find a third-party app that'll make everything, you know, like you said, at the palm of your hand.
Yeah, it's great that you brought that up, because a lot of there's almost no manufacturer out there that makes all devices, from, you know, security cameras to smart coffee makers to smart light bulbs, smart plugs. There's almost no manufacturer that does all of that. You're going to have to go with multiple companies, and those multiple companies will have multiple apps. So you might have one app to control the light, one app to view the security camera, another app that controls the security system. And so you might even have two apps to control the lights. So this app controls the living room lights, this app controls the kitchen lights. And so it can be really annoying when you have all these apps. You have to remember which one to use for what devices. And so that's why there's other apps out there, such as the Google Home app, that combine all the devices into a single page. So your security cameras, your lights, they're all grouped by what room they're in. And it's just one page that where you can control all your devices. You don't have to worry about using 10 different apps for all your stuff.
Right, and this is where even more integration comes in, because like, I was giving an example of, you could put all your smart home devices connected to the Google Home app. That's when, if you have a Google Home device, you could say, you know, hey Google, turn on the living room lights, and no matter which company made those lights, it could turn them on. You could say, turn on the kitchen lights. Even if they're made by different manufacturers and have different apps, if you put them both into the same, like I'm just using this as an example, Google Home, then you could even say to your TV, if it's a smart TV, turn on the living room lights. That's how, no matter what manufacturer makes the smart devices, if you have them all in one network, you can control pretty much any device from, you know, your phone, your TV, anything that, you know, is on, you know, has a Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah, and I'll get into that more in depth when we get into smart assistants, because that's a very big topic there. Lastly, I just want to finish this part up. I'm just going to give a couple examples of companies that make these devices. So a few popular ones for smart lights include TP-Link is a big one, Philips Hue, and then there's also Wemo. I've had some experience with Wemo. It's not my favorite, but it is a very popular smart lighting app. So then I know companies that for security cameras, Arlo is a big one. There's also Nest, and you can look all these up on Google. If you're thinking about starting a smart home, do your research before you just pick a company, because they're all very different and you want to make sure you go with the right one. We'll get into that more later on in this episode. So companies that do smart cameras, I know there's Arlo, TP-Link does smart cameras, there's Nest. I know I'm forgetting one. I can't remember what it is. It's companies that do thermostats are Nest, Ecobee. I think Honeywell has a smart thermostat. But like I said, if there's a specific device you're looking for, do your research on all the companies, figure out which one you like the best in terms of features, the app, and also security and privacy, which we'll talk about more later in the episode.
Right. I think that wraps it up here for section two. But of course, if you need any consulting help with the technology, you can always go to zacknology.com and schedule an appointment if you need any help. So coming up next, we'll take a look at integrations and automation. We'll be right back.
Okay, so next up, we're going to be talking about integrations and automation, which is another very big part of a smart home. And I know integrations automation sounds like, pretty complex terms, but it's actually not that difficult to understand. Automation, we're going to start with automation. Automation is the ability to have certain devices automatically perform an action when something happens. So Charlie's going to provide us with a few examples of what an automation might look like inside a smart home.
Thank you, Zach. So keep in mind, there are pretty much infinite possibilities. These are just a few examples. So one example, let's say your phone through the GPS can tell you're getting close to your house. The smart home could tell lights to automatically turn on. We talked about this earlier. If a smoke detector detects smoke, it could automatically turn off the heating system so the fire wouldn't spread. And if the doorbell rings, it could automatically turn the porch light on. These are just a few examples. And there are pretty much infinite possibilities that are already there, created for you, or that you can create. And we'll dive into that a little more in a second. But pretty much the whole point of integrations and automation is to help simplify your daily tasks, right? If you're spending so much time trying to get this stuff set up, then, it's not helping and there's no point. But the whole point of automation is, let's say you walk in after a long day of work, it automatically turn on lights, turn up the heat, open the blinds, things like these that really, improve your quality of life. And not only that, it can keep you safe, like we talked about with fire, smoke safety, carbon monoxide, and also, of course, the security system. So that's really the whole point of the smart home. And I think integrations and automation is definitely a big part of this.
Right. It's great you brought that up. So next, I'm going to talk about actually integrations. So an integration is when a smart home company works with another smart home company, and they allow you to connect their devices to each other. So like I said, this is an integration. So an example would be a smart lighting company works with a home security company to allow users to have the lights turn on when motion is detected and the system is armed. So this is just one example of an integration, but I'm just going to reiterate it. It's when company A connects with company B and they allow users to use their devices with each other.
Right. So now there's more you can do with, let's say, a more advanced smart home user like Zach, not like me. You can pretty much set up custom automation servers with complex automation that can have multiple things triggering at once under certain conditions, certain timing, reoccurring commands. I know Zach has the software where he's can do that. So that's something for people who have probably had it for a while and know what they're doing. But that's when you realize if this light company and this, let's say, thermostat company don't have a automation that's already available, you can create it. And that's what I mean by how there's pretty much infinite possibilities. So I think that wraps up our section on integrations and automation. And next up, we'll talk a little bit more about smart assistants.
Let's go.
Section 4 of our podcast is brought to you by America's number one favorite news show, Today Now. So for section 4, we're going to be taking a look at voice assistants. As I was saying earlier, voice assistants is the thing that really brings everything together and makes the smart home so intuitive and helpful and convenient in your daily life. So Zach is going to take it away here to talk more in depth about voice assistants.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. So I know, again, voice assistants have become very popular within the last several years. They're in your homes. They're sometimes on your TV, in your phone. They're in your car. So voice assistants are in a lot of places. And if you don't know what a voice assistant is, it is a software that can perform tasks or services for an individual based on commands or questions. So it's a voice assistant. So users tell these assistants to perform actions using their voice, and then the assistant will usually respond using text-to-speech with an automated voice. So I know, well, the three most popular voice assistants are the Google Assistant, Amazon's Alexa, and then Apple's Siri. But there are also others such as Microsoft's Cortana, and I know Samsung's Bixby is another one. So those are basically just the main voice assistants, but I there are some others out there. So, Charlie?
Yeah, so... these voice assistants are built into, you know, the smart speakers that can be placed in someone's home, like Google Home, Amazon Alexa, Apple HomePod. But they're not necessarily just in the, you know, devices themselves that you can talk to, such as your smart TV, some lamps, I think you can even talk to, like the coffee maker. So things like Google Assistant now can almost be built into everything. And these aren't necessarily new. Siri, like we said, was in the Apple HomePod. I mean, I'm sure everyone knows, you know, for years it's been on the, you know, iPhone, iPad, Mac. These aren't necessarily new softwares. They're just being incorporated more into objects, devices in your house that you use more on a regular basis. And the voice assistants can be connected to smart home devices. Pretty much all your smart home devices can be controlled by a single voice assistant. So Zach, what are some other things that we can do with voice assistants?
Right. So like you said, it can connect to your smart home devices. And this is really what makes the smart home smart, because, you know, if you have a Google Home, you could just say, "Hey Google, turn on the lights in the living room," and the lights will turn on. "Hey Google, turn down the temperature." "Hey Google, show me the security camera." But it can also do lots of other things, such as it could read your calendar, manage a shopping list, perform calculations, play music, make calls, and the list goes on. There are so many things that these voice assistants can do. Now, I mentioned earlier that there are lots of voice assistants. I prefer Google Assistant, so we have a lot of Google stuff. I do not like Amazon Alexa, but I do believe if you are looking to get a voice assistant, it's completely based on personal preference.
Right. I want to remind everyone this is not sponsored by Google Assistant or anything. These are just Zach's opinions.
Yeah. There's no better voice assistant. It's all based on personal preference. And it's also based on what your existing system looks like. For example, if you already have a Google Chromecast, and you already have Nest thermostats, you have a Google Pixel phone, then Google Home might be right for you because it integrates well with the products you already have. If you have a Amazon Fire TV stick, then you might want an Amazon Alexa because, again, it integrates well with the products you already have. But remember, it's all based on personal preference, but do your research, make sure you make sure you figure out all the features each one has, security, the privacy policy, so that you know which one you would like to get.
Right. So like Zach said, it's really up to you, personal preference. There's not really a right or wrong way to go. So I think that wraps up voice assistance. So far, we've been talking pretty much exclusively about the positives of home assistance, smart home. But next, we're going to be looking at how some of these devices can be somewhat controversial. We're looking at privacy and security. Stay with us.
All right, so now we're going to be talking about security and privacy with smart homes. And like Charlie just said at the end of section four, we've been talking a lot about, you know, the positives and the pros of smart homes, but now we're going to look at the negatives and some of the security issues with them.
Right. So as I'm sure many of our listeners have probably heard about, there's been a lot of controversy in recent years over the security and privacy related to smart homes, and more specifically, voice assistants. And the main reason is with voice assistants such as Google Home, Apple HomePod, you know, Alexa, when you say, hey, Google or Alexa, it, you know, it turns on and it recognizes that you said that word or phrase, which means that it's always, the microphone's always listening to you. It has to listen to every word you say. And this has, you know, brought up a lot of suspicions. People are wondering, you know, there's a lot of crazy conspiracy theories, like they're selling your data to the government or whatever. And, you know, some of these might seem far-fetched, many people have actually noticed that when they talk about a product or a service near their device, there actually ads will appear on one of their other devices related to that, and they've never seen those ads before. So, you know, there's definitely been a lot of suspicions related to those. And, you know, these devices do have a feature to mute the device if people are worried about that. But, you know, this is actually something that probably deters a lot of people away from buying a smart home. I know I kind of wanted to get one, and my dad said, I don't want that thing listening to us. So it's not just, you know, a hoax. It's a very real concern that some people have. And Zach, you know, it seems like not just these voice assistants, it seems like there's fear of just other smart home devices being hacked.
Right, because one of the things you have to consider is when you're setting up these smart home devices, you have access to it from your phone. And that means that control over that device is now accessible on the internet. So then now there's that risk that it could be hacked. And someone, because a regular light switch cannot be hacked. But if it's a smart light switch that can connect to the internet, then yes, someone can gain control of it. So that's one of the security issues with smart homes. And so companies are trying to take action to, you know, up the security on these devices.
Right. So there's been a lot of instances, and like Zach said, these companies have taken steps to ensure the security of users. But you know, light bulbs, you might think, who cares, my light bulb gets hacked. But one of the big things is people who have smart garage door openers, smart door locks, smart security systems. There have been this has happened probably countless times. It's a very real possibility that, you know, let's see, someone figured out that you're on vacation. They could hack into your door locks. They could unlock your door. They could turn off your security system. They could open your garage. And this is why a lot of people don't like smart home, because if someone gets into your smart home network, someone hacks into it, they pretty much have unlimited control, you know, over your house. And I'm not saying you shouldn't get one. There's a lot of, you know, like Zach said, a lot of positives, a lot of pros, but, you know, there are a lot of security concerns, because at the end of the day, having a door lock with a key and having a garage door opener button, on a keypad, is more secure. I'm not saying it's better necessarily, but it's definitely more secure. And I think this is probably the main reason why people would choose not to get a smart home. Do you have anything else to add, Zach?
Well, I just wanted to add some just basic tips that, or, you know, advice, just things that you should follow if you decide to get a smart home in terms of security. Of course, always, if you're getting a smart home, make sure your Wi-Fi network is password protected. This is a huge issue, and it's something that could be easily solved. add a password to your Wi-Fi network, it can solve so many problems. And an unprotected Wi-Fi network is a huge security risk, especially when you decide to implement a smart home. You should also, if when getting smart home devices, go with a bigger company such as TP-Link, Philips Hue, because these companies are more likely to have more security on their devices as opposed to smaller smart home companies. And we'll include some more tips for security in the next section, but I just wanted to give just a little bit of advice.
All right. Thank you, Zach. And coming up next in section 6, we'll take a look at things you should consider when setting up a smart home. Stay with us. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to episode 2 of the Zachnology Tech Review podcast in partnership with the 173012 News and America's number one favorite news show, Today Now. So in our final section, section 6, we're going to be looking at some things to consider when setting up a smart home and wrap up this second edition of the podcast. So, Zach, what are some of the most important things to consider?
Right. So, I mean, you know, after listening to our podcast, I know there are probably a lot of listeners who are considering a smart home. So things to look out for when you're setting up a smart home. First of all, you want to be consistent with the company you choose to go with. So, for example, if you have a TP-Link smart light bulb, you want to stick with TP-Link for all your smart lights, because it just simplifies it in terms of connectivity. So, you know, your voice assistant might be compatible with TP-Link, but if you choose to get some TP-Link lights and some Wemo lights, your voice assistant might not be compatible with Wemo, and then you might be able to control the TP-Link lights with your voice assistant, but not the Wemo lights. It also simplifies it in terms of apps, because then you don't have two separate apps for all the lights. So just remember, first you have to do your research, figure out which company you like the most, and then you want to stay consistent with that company. There's no company that does everything, but you want to stay consistent with the companies in terms of the specific device. So you don't want to have multiple companies for the lights. You don't want to have multiple companies for the security cameras. So you might have TP-Link lights and Nest security cameras. That's fine, but you don't want to have two separate companies for the lighting.
Right. So this kind of falls into your compatibility integration. So the second thing we want to talk about, and this is more of a con, is security. Of course, consider security, what you're comfortable with in your house. Like Zach said, you want to make sure your Wi-Fi password is secure. It's safe and secure as long as you take the basic steps to ensure your network is secure. And voice assistants, we said voice assistants are one of the hugest benefits of the whole system. The system doesn't help if you have 20 different apps, but voice assistants can bring everything into one system and really truly simplify your life.
Right. And like I said, do research on the voice assistants. Figure out which voice assistant is compatible with the devices you already have. And like I said earlier, it's all based on personal preference. There's no better voice assistant. It's just whichever one you think is most appealing. The next thing to consider when setting up a smart home is the apps, because, and I talked about this in terms of with the companies, but with the apps, you are going to have to use multiple apps with the smart home, because there's no one company that makes all the products. So you are going to have to use multiple apps for all your smart home devices. Now, there are apps out there that can combine all these. So, for example, the Google Home app. It is for setting up Google Homes and Chromecasts, but you can also add your lights, thermostats, security cameras, smart locks, garage door openers. All that can be combined into the Google Home app. So when you want to control your smart home, there's one app you go into.
Right. So, like we said, the integration's big part of smart homes, like Zach was just talking about. You can integrate everything into one device. And you want also, again, you want to make sure your devices are compatible with each other. And that will allow for some really cool automation. And yeah. One thing we haven't really talked about, but I think we should mention, is cost. Some right. of these products, I guess this is my opinion, but they're overpriced. One example is the Philips Hue light bulbs. I mean, they're just very overpriced. So if you're on a budget, you know, this might not be the thing for you. But if you have a few extra bucks to spend and you want to, you know, try out some cool new tech, then I definitely recommend it. What's your thoughts on the cost of setting up a smart home, Zach?
Right. I agree with you that some companies are definitely putting that price high for their products. I know Philips Hue's are pretty expensive. I know they are pretty nice lights, but if you're not looking to spend a lot of money on smart homes, on a smart home device, you don't have to, because I know, well, with Black Friday savings, because we recorded this
the day after, but
with Black Friday savings, you could get a smart light bulb for like less than $20. So I mean, these smart home products have become cheaper over the past couple of years, but you know, only spend the amount you're comfortable with. You don't have to spend a lot of money on smart homes,
right? And Zach, sorry if I don't do that, but you said comfortable. I want to. That's a very important word. There's some products like smart lock that people aren't comfortable with. That's fine. You don't have to make your whole house smart. If you just want a couple smart light bulbs, that's fine. So I think that word comfortable is very important. Just spend what you're comfortable with, buy what you're comfortable with. There's so much flexibility.
Yeah, and like you said, it's whatever you're comfortable with. I know there's some there are some custom smart home solutions. Alon Home Systems is an example. Now, these are systems where it's completely customized. They can cost thousands of dollars. They are very expensive. So this whole episode, we've just been talking about the ones that are more, I don't want to say cheaper, but they're reasonably priced.
Right. We're not talking, we're talking about the base, you know, the common ones, not anything too.
The custom ones are like built into the home. It's all one company. You got the touch screens on the walls. It's,
right. Although that probably is going to be more secure.
It might be more secure. I'm not completely sure. And of course, it depends on what company you choose to go with. But those can get very pricey. So those are just some things to look out for if you decide to set up a smart home.
I think that wraps up episode 2 of the Zachnology Tech Review podcast in partnership, as always, with Today Now. So once again, we'd like to apologize for the very long wait for episode 2, but we hope episode 3 will be out soon. So thank you for watching and have a great day.